Los Angeles. Hello, fans of LAFC, Major League Soccer, and of course, hello to the millions.
And millions!
That was more jovial than I would have liked it to be, but good job. This is Defenders of the Bank, and we are here to talk about LAFC's unfortunate, sad, and frustrating loss against the Colorado Rapids. We're going to call this one Mihailovic Melts Down LAFC in Mile High. But before we get into that, introductions are in order. Now, you may notice something a little different. I'm going to address that right now. Our beloved scarf, a.k.a. La Bufanda, a.k.a. Deschal, a.k.a. The Scarf, is still sitting pretty, sipping something in Puerto Rico. And we won't be seeing Scarf until the next one more sleep. We love him, we miss him, and of course, we will have him back. But this isn't going to be a solo Philly pod like One More Sleep was. Misery does love company, and since I had company at Philomonster Studios today, why not bring on a friend of the pod and the chairman of the Hello Kitty fan club? Y'all might know him as LAFC Laugh, but his real name is Chris Lafferty.
Oh, miserable after that introduction of Hello Kitty's friend. But let me give this a shot here and do my best, JR. What is good, Defenders? Oh, yeah, almost. You see, I'm wearing as many scarves as I could to pay tribute to my good friend J.R. Liebert, the molder of young minds, the teacher that is taking his students on a great goodwill service trip down to Puerto Rico. So as his substitute teacher, I'm jumping in from my usual spot in the comments section to here in front of the screen to help bring all today's action to you.
Well, we certainly appreciate that. This man's quite excited, quite happy. And I don't know why he's exactly that happy, because LAFC certainly rained on our parade this Saturday. It rained this morning in Los Angeles, but it's raining on our afternoons thus far. But together, we'll get through this. Now, without Scarf, we're not going to do a lot of the typical things that we do on Defenders of the Bank. There's not going to be a this day in LAFC history. I'm not going to take away from Scarf's thunder in that regard. But, of course, we are going to talk about some quick news and notes that happened in and around the club over the course of the past week. Then we will discuss the breakdown of the breakdown against the Colorado Rapids. And then we'll just highlight quickly what's in store for LAFC going forward as of next week. And then we'll get you all back to your families, and hopefully we can all find some way to turn that frown upside down and enjoy the rest of our Saturdays, and obviously go into Easter Sunday, if you celebrate that kind of thing, with a bigger smile on your face. So as far as the news are concerned, we have a team that obviously it was lacking depth coming into this season. If you look at the game day programs, you could distinctly see that. Visually, the opposing team, a laundry list of players. LAFC, not as many players, but a lot of that changed this week. And we did sign a couple of exciting players. I'm not going to say they're young because that would be a lie, but some exciting new players to our club that have quite a bit of Major League Soccer experience. So I'm going to have Laugh over here, Chris Lafferty, that is, go over to who we signed while I'm sitting here miserably drinking my Topo Chico. And by the way, Topo Chico, sponsor our podcast. Thank you very much.
Yes, please, Topo Chico. And well, like you said, this weekend, tomorrow specifically, is Easter Sunday, if you celebrate that. And with Easter Sunday usually comes eggs in a basket as well. Well, LAFC, we do things a little differently. We put hats in boxes, and that's what we had a lot of this week. We had two notable signings, as well as the confirmation of the Olivier Giroud coming in, hopefully July 1st. But the first hat in a box goes to defender Maxime Cheneau. No, I didn't say Crippo. Maxime Cheneau. He signed from the French Liga 2 team, AC Ajaccion. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
It doesn't matter what their name is.
It certainly doesn't. And from the way that he left them, I don't think he really cares either.
No, he left very unceremoniously. I believe they even went out on public record saying they don't want somebody who doesn't want to be a part of their club. So it was a nasty breakup between Maxime and his club in Liga 2.
Yeah, well, you know what, Maxime, buddy? I don't want to be a part of them either, and I'm glad you're with us. We've actually seen Maxime before. Maxime's a veteran of MLS, the longest tenured NYCFC player in club history, was a member of their 2021 championship, and And if you were lucky enough to get tickets to that 2021 game where we were wearing the Parley jerseys, that was still when they were doing limited attendance, and NYCFC came to the then Bank of California Stadium, Maxime Cheneau was starting in the backfield for NYCFC.
Maxime Cheneau was a member of NYCFC after their inaugural season in 2015, was there from 2016 to 2023, and like Chris alluded to, was on that MLS Cup winning team. This is a gentleman who gives us a lot of experience defensively, and that's something we do need help with. He didn't feature in today's game, nor was he a part of the 18, but having Cheneau on our club adds a lot of experience, depth, and knowledge. Quite frankly, I mean, Steve Cherundolo, a defender in his own right, brings a proven veteran and a successful proven veteran of this league to help add some more firepower to our back line. And after this game against the Rapids, I can't wait to see Maxime Cheneau on our roster. But he wasn't the only player that we signed. We're going down the list of individuals who have spent quite a bit of time in Major League Soccer. Cheneau has, but this next individual that Chris is going to talk about here spent a lot more time, obviously, in Major League Soccer than some of you in terms of your overall age that listen to this pod. And by the way, we appreciate the millions.
And millions!
You're still way too happy for the sad pod, but we can taper that down. Anyway, let's talk about Kai Kamara.
You're right. Normally, I'm a Cody crybaby when it comes to The Rock, but
I acknowledge that.
Well, anyway, I was talking about hats. It's more hats for LAFC signing this week. It was announced yesterday that LAFC signed what we desperately need is another forward because our offensive roster is just dwindling right now. The third most goal scorer in MLS, one away from tying Landon Donovan from the land down south, which I hope he gets to break that soon. He's a two-time All-Star, a 2015 Best 11, and a 2015 MLS Works Humanitarian of the Year Award winner. His name is Kai Kamara. Now, not only is Kai Kamara an award-winning scorer, an award-winning humanitarian, but he's also a SoCal native. He's starred at Luzinger High School in Lawndale, California, where Nina is from. Shout out to Nina.
And the scarf.
And the scarf, too. Well, yeah. Well, yeah, but it's Nina's. It's always Casa de Nina where I'm paying attention, defenders. Don't worry, I'm getting all the nuances that usually just get overlooked. But then he also played collegiately for Cal State Dominguez Hills,
Go Toros,
which is where you have to park if you want to attend an event at Dignity Health Sports Park, because as we know, that's Dominguez Hills, and Carson is not L.A. So a little bit internationally, though, he's also played in the English Premier League for Norwich City and Middlesbrough FC in the English Championship and for Finland's HIFK.
As you heard, a guy who's traveled quite a bit, top three scorers in league history. And I would say that midway point of the season could potentially be the number two scorer all time in Major League Soccer behind Chris Wondolowski. Now, if Kai Kamara could get anywhere close to Chris Wondolowski, then boy, would we have gotten a hell of an ROI on our investment. For those of you who don't know, ROI means return on investment. He's got quite a bit of ground to make up on Chris Wondolowski, but it is kind of fitting that Kai Kamara, a member of LAFC, could potentially usurp the number two leading scorer in this league and that of Landon Donovan, member of the LA Galaxy, or as we like to call them, the Carson Galaxy. But look, we're not going to talk much about them. We're going to have plenty to talk about with them next week.
Speaking of returns, I do want to return to his international stats, though, because Kamara is a native of Sierra Leone, and he made 39 appearances in all competitions for Sierra Leone. He scored 7 goals and 1 assist in all competitions for them. So he's not only played around the league, like we mentioned, not only played locally here in SoCal, but he's played in Europe and internationally for his home club of Sierra Leone. He signed with us through 2024 and has an option for next year, too.
At 39 years of age, he is in fantastic shape. Hasn't lost a beat. I know plenty of people are out there still wondering about Carlos Vela. Look, Carlos Vela at 34 by no means is in the shape that Kai Kamara is at 39. Kai Kamara is a rock star and a physical specimen, one to be admired. And it just goes to show how match fit and ready he was, because he not only signed on to LAFC recently, he made the flight and he made an appearance today. More on that later. So one other bit of news that we just want to quickly go over. Normally I would have that jersey behind Chris's head. It's gone down because I kind of grew a little tired of looking at it. But obviously there is discussion that Olivier Giroud, that's right, the Frenchman sensation, former member of Chelsea, Arsenal, now playing over at AC Milan, the all-time leading scorer in French football history, could potentially grace our roster as soon as July. So fireworks could go off in the city of Los Angeles, and fireworks are going to go off in my house because my wife is utterly obsessed with Olivier Giroud, and I hear about it all the time. So, Olivier, stay away. I know I've got nothing on you. Zero. No bank account, looks, height, skill, yada, yada, yada. But I think I'm pretty cool. So at least I will give myself that regard. Anyhow, let's get into the game against Colorado. Now, if you weren't a part of One More Sleep, shame on you, by the way, last night. We're going to just set the table for you once again. Coming into today's game, the Colorado Rapids were sitting in 10th place in the Western Conference, a team that in their five games played, they only won one, lost two, and drew two, a team that hasn't won on the road in Dick's Sporting Goods Park. Away, 1-1-1, five goals for, eight goals against, a minus three goal differential. And they've had some interesting contests as of late, losing to Houston. That was a story. Tying Seattle at Seattle was a big deal. And then beating RSL was also a big deal, because that's the first time that the Rapids ended up beating RSL over the last six games. So that rivalry goes back a long way. They drew Nashville and they got their asses whooped. I'm going to not be family friendly on that, by the Portland Timbers at Portland and Providence Park. So that's the story with how they're doing this season. Historically against us, we've beaten them six times. They've beaten us three. We've drawn once. But for LAFC, going into Dick's Sporting Goods Park has never been a good scenario for us. A tough place for LAFC to play. You could harken back to that season where the Rapids did win the Western Conference regular season title. They beat LAFC on decision day. They not only beat LAFC, they absolutely decimated LAFC on that day. I was there in person with Scarf, with Vince LaRosa, with Connor. We were doing a 110 football broadcast. I still will never forget how embarrassing that was. But nothing as embarrassing as LAFC's last ass kicking of the Colorado Rapids back on August 23rd of 2023, a game in which we beat them by a score of 4-0. Now, let's talk about some of the players to keep an eye on. Chris, we got Cole Bassett, Rafael Navarro, Calvin Harris, not the DJ, but the one player that, you know, hurt us, and it was my player to watch. We're going to talk a little bit more about him, Georgi Mihailovic.
Georgi Mihailovic just played out of his mind today. And yeah, this is one Calvin Harris that Taylor Swift doesn't really mind.
Now, see, that's funny. I appreciate that one.
Thanks. Usually my jokes fall flat, so I'm glad that one hit.
Not a dad joke on that one. Well done. Well done. Hold on.
Thank you.
Carry on.
So yeah, let's take it though over to our boys over here and for the black and gold. In goal, no surprise here. And stop me if you've heard this before for this roster. We have Hugo Lloris between the pipes here. On the back line, Sergi Palencia, Jesus David Maria, Aaron Long, and Ryan Hollingshead. In the midfield, Timothy Tillman, Ilya Sanchez, and Edward Atuesta. By the way, just having those two together makes me so happy. And our forwards, Kike Oliveira, Matty Bogush, and Denis Bawanga.
This team, as stacked as it is, by the way, that starting lineup hasn't changed with the exception of Sergi Palencia stepping in for Omar Campos. Omar Campos was out injured for this game. He was questionable. He was on international duty a week prior to that, but that's why you didn't see him in the starting lineup and in the 18. And quite honestly, like you alluded to, I feel a lot better with Sergi Palencia starting in our back line as opposed to Omar Campos. I know there's a lot of expectations on Omar, but for the time being, I feel a lot better with Sergi Palencia. crazy that with the team that we have, they have yet to win on the road. Their only games that they have won have been in the friendly confines of BMO Stadium. Now, let's get into the Colorado Rapids. The Rapids, brand new coach, Chris Armas, who got signed on November 17th of 2023. Chris Armas had a fantastic career as a player. 66 caps with the U.S. men's national team. He was part of the CONCACAF winning U.S. teams back in 02 and 05. Spent quite a bit of time with your former favorite team, the Chicago Fire, from 98 to 2007. We're talking 214 caps. He was part of the inaugural season with the LA Galaxy in 96-97. So as a player, Chris Armas was legit and the real deal. As far as his managerial time is concerned, 2018, he was a part of the New Jersey Energy Drinks, took over the management opportunities after Jesse Marsh headed overseas to Europe. Then in 2021, as you all recall, Greg Vanney decided to ship out from Toronto, making his way into Southern California to manage his former team. So in that time period, Chris Armas takes over for Toronto FC. Then fast forward that same year, he briefly had the opportunity to work under Ragnick. If you recall, he was the interim manager of Manchester United for a very short period of time. We tie back the conversation of Jesse Marsh, and Chris Armas got the opportunity to be with Jesse on the bench at Leeds United as they were playing in the Premier League. So that's the story about Chris Armas, a legit individual. Now, gone are the days of Jack Price, Danny Wilson, Diego Rubio, but in comes in a world-class keeper, and that is Zach Steffen. And Jordy Mihailovic, who we talked about just earlier, he had a tremendous impact in this game. Coming overseas, coming back from overseas, having played in the Eredivisie for AZ Alkmaar, a team that finished in fourth place in the division with the likes of Ajax, PSV Eindhoven, just to name a couple. Now, the starting lineup for the Colorado Rapids, in between the sticks, Zach Steffen, your backline, Keegan Rosenberry, Moise Bombito, who celebrated his 24th birthday, Andreas Maxu, Sam Vines, midfield, Cole Bassett, the ginger himself, Oliver Larraz, Calvin Harris, not the DJ, Jordan Mihailovic, Kevin Cabral, formerly of the LA Galaxy, and Rafael Navarro, the players that ended up coming off of the bench, Omir Fernandez, who normally gets the start for the Colorado Rapids. He kind of flip-flops back and forth with Kevin Cabral. And Kamani Stewart-Baines, who had a big impact when he came into the game late. So let's talk about the opening frame. LAFC got off to a really good start, wouldn't you say?
It looked like they were controlling the match for, I'd say, the majority of the first half. What we were seeing from LAFC in this game that we maybe hadn't seen, but they were kind of starting to carry over from their 5-0 win over Nashville, was just complete fluidity from everything. In the pipes, Lloris was looking great, as we've all come to know from him. Our defense of that back four there was doing such a fantastic job of keeping Lloris clean, but also getting the ball up to the midfield. And the midfield with their distribution was just so solid, feeding it to our attackers today. And we ended up creating a ton of shots and chances early on in this game, really putting Colorado on their heels early.
Yeah, put them on their heels early. Our good friends of the pod, Mark Rogodino and Heath Pierce were, I was going to call him Ledger for a second. Rest in peace, Batman. Heath Pierce on the call today on the Apple TV. Look, Denny Bawanga was solid to start things off. Overall, he was very solid, arguably one of the best on the pitch, unless your name is Jordy Mihailovic. So much transpired from Denny Bawanga. Fifth minute in, he just the left side of the box, he narrowly missed. 2 minutes later, a nice build-up from the back. Murillo gets things started after a few quick passes. Atuesta finds Denny, who lets one rip. Seventh minute, Denny hits the post. Denny, last season, was going for the golden boot. This season, he's going for the golden post because that's what he's constantly hitting. The amount of times that Denny has hit the woodwork this season has been staggering. If he would have scored half of those goals that hit the post, he would already be the leader in Major League Soccer in that golden boot race. But right now, it's just the golden crossbar race that he's leading. Eighth minute, Denny gets another shot saved by Steffen off of a corner by Bogus. He had so many opportunities. And by the way, let's talk about Bogus real quick. Started to take a lot of the set pieces for LAFC in lieu of Edward Atuesta.
That's right. We've seen a lot. And in fact, we looked up at one point, we're like, wait, Bogers is taking the corner. And then we realized, wait, he's taken almost all the corners so far today. You know, he's somebody who he's been, you know, really trying to be a more solid player in our forward attack, even though a lot of people prefer him in the midfield. But as we are going on the way that we have, we do have to keep trying new things and changing up our approach, given our limited roster depth. And so putting Bogusz out on the corner and leaving Atuesta, who's now proven that he's got a nose for the goal and at least making all those shots, I maybe taking more attempts or getting better chances than Bogusz has, having somebody like Atuesta in the box, ready to take those shots off a corner kick is maybe a lot more valuable than having him putting the ball in play.
Edward Atuesta, boy, is he starting to come up big and big. Now, as LAFC was knocking on the door to Zach Steffen for the first seven minutes, the eighth minute, we absolutely have that conversion. Atuesta, a beautiful shot from outside of the box. Nothing Zach Steffen can do. It was a thing of beauty. Edward Atuesta, that was his first goal since going back to September of 2021. Keep in mind that he went down to Brazil in that time period, so it might seem like a lot longer than what it was. But yeah, September of 2020 was the last time that Edward Atuesta scored a goal for the Black and Gold. And he did so by getting right past Kevin Cabral with such ease. And he let that sucker boil past Steffen. Now, in the past, going back to 2018, something that would frustrate a lot of the supporters, including myself, Scarf, and everybody around us, LAFC's reluctance from firing off outside of the 18. They weren't really about that during the Bob Bradley era. But within the first 8 minutes of the game, we saw multitudes of shots from outside of the 18. And Edward Atuesta scored one of the prettiest goals you'll see in Major League Soccer.
You're right. And that's the kind of thing that us supporters, I know myself personally, have just wanted to see. It's like sometimes you get the chance, just rip it. The goal that comes to mind is from 2 years ago with Ismail Tajiri Shroudy and that goal against Miami, where he just from out of nowhere just let her rip and ends up scoring one of those beautiful goals. But what it does is it makes it so that all the teams put on notice, oh, wait, we can have a lot of guys score and from anywhere. So you can't, they really can't pick a place to kind of try to pigeonhole us in. It really spreads out the opposing defenses and gives a lot of our guys who are dangerous even more chances to come off and score. An amazing thing about this goal, not in a positive way, but maybe something to build off of though. This not only was Atuesta's second goal of the season, which is very encouraging, but for the team, it was our first goal away from BMO Stadium.
That's a really good point. I didn't think about that. You're right. Edward Atuesta scoring in consecutive matches. And we've had a darn time scoring goals outside of BMO Stadium. We were 4 minutes shy of setting a record for the most, the goalless drought that we had. 4 minutes short of tying that record, breaking that record almost. And obviously we exploded last game. Edward Atuesta's goal at the very end of the game against Nashville was the icing on the cake or the exclamation point, whichever way you want to look at it. Mendo, I do not know how many goals and assists Atuesta has had versus the Galaxy, but I'll have that information for you on One More Sleep next week. So that's the story there. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the action that happened within the first half. 15th minute, Bogusz wins it in for LAFC after Steffen was trying to find his teammates outside of the 18. He connects with Atuesta, who then finds Denny trying to get by his defender. He takes a shot on Steffen, and he missed it. He got stuffed by Steffen, but then he got hit by the birthday dude himself, Moise Bombito. And I don't know, you'd think that it happened afterwards, but you can clear as day see that Denny took a boot to the dome piece by Bombito.
Yeah, that was definitely a kick to the head, but more so than that, it was a missed call. And speaking of the calls, who was making the calls this week?
Rogo and Heath.
Oh, no, not on the mic. Young, who were making the calls in the field?
Oh, that's another good point. Why don't you talk about the big news that happened in the referee front?
So, as you know, there was a strike from the referees' labor organization, and they were fighting for some very well-deserved things and a lot of issues that I think really are only necessary for, you know, the labor that make up this game that we have. As controversial as the referees may be, or as unlike as the referees may be, if you look at the things that they were fighting for, it seemed like they were just basic workers' rights that they're entitled to. However, we're welcoming them back this week after they came up to a really impressive CBA of, I think, an 8-year agreement, I think signed through, or 6 years, signed through 2030. But we're welcoming them back, and it's familiar faces all over again. We have the same officiating crew, or at least the head referee that we had in the MLS Cup final. And it seemed that now with the pro referees back, it's just right back to where we were before. to where now all of a sudden we're seeing these calls that were like, hey, why did this go unnoticed? It was a blatant kick to the head. And then you watch a few minutes later and something comes up where it's ticky-tack, and then all of a sudden the whistle's blown. So it's like, what gives? But that's pro refereeing. Welcome back, fellas. Enjoy the contract.
Yeah, we went from the scabs to like the better scabs, I guess you can say. I mean, I'm still going to stand by my phrase of pro referees, PRO, simply as an acronym for pretty rancid officiating. Yes, Armando Villarreal was the official today, and he's actually one of the better ones. But, you know, we're going to see the likes of Ted Uncle once again and some of those other officials that we so lovingly cared about back in the day. So, yeah, that's a good point. Pro referees are back. And the deal itself, the officials were, now they're in a position where they can make more money, which obviously is a good thing. Not all of their demands were met. I know the travel accommodations was one thing that they were very big on achieving. I don't think they achieved the travel accommodations they wanted to, but at the very least, they got the bump in pay. And honestly, they deserve it. It's such a thankless job. I would never, ever want to be an official. There's no winning at all. It's just a tough gig.
Well, in their defense too, I want to give them credit. There's a video out on YouTube. You can look it up. It's whoever was calling the 2022 MLS All-Star game, they had that referee mic'd up, and it gave a really fascinating insight as to what they go through on a game-to-game basis. It's a difficult job. Also, too, these are guys, you can't sub them out, and they're running back and forth the entire time, too. They're putting out a lot of miles, and well, so I can respect that, and I understand they're doing a job that I know I can't do, but I'm also not paid to do it. So you kind of expect a lot more from them. So let's hope that, you know, if their conditions are improved through this new CBA, and let's hope that the conditions of their calling are also improved with it.
Absolutely. Now, getting back into the game, obviously, I feel like that kick from Bombito to Denny totally went unnoticed, which is an unfortunate thing. Then the game started going a little back and forth and then started falling in the momentum of the home team, Colorado Rapids. The one individual, you know, that I wanted to focus on was Georgi Mihailovic. He was my player to watch, and that's kind of a no-brainer. He was the player that Colorado signed to really make a big deal and make offensive contributions to the side that have been sorely lacking in the past. He was at the head of pretty much every single corner kick that the Colorado Rapids had over the course of the 90-plus minutes. And boy, did he serve things up splendidly. Just when you thought it was going to be safe to head into the locker room with a lead, 38th minute rolls around. Corner kick set up. Georgi Mihailovic places that ball beautifully for the birthday boy, the guy who kicked Denny Bouanga in the head, by the way, Moise Bombito, who was wide open on the near side of the post. He smashes it in there for his not only first goal of the game, but first goal within his Major League Soccer career. So a big day for Bombito, but unfortunately a big missed moment for LAFC to head into the locker room with the lead.
Happy birthday to you. They're singing for Bombito tonight, and that goal, unfortunately, coming off that corner, beautifully placed from Mihailovic, was Bombito just unmarked. They really gave him a present on that one. The ball's put up in play kind of towards the back of all the commotion. Bombito flies in, heads up over unmarked, over Bogush, and just knocks it right in through him, really uncontested almost, just flew in. A super, really an easy goal for him. I mean, his head might have hurt, but uncontested, like we said, just that was a real gift for him. And, you know, unfortunately on his birthday, so it's kind of a pun, but but you have to give a lot of the credit to not only to Bombito for staying open how he was and getting in there to take that opportunity and kind of power up over our defense and Bogush in particular, but also for Mihailovic, who just with that beautiful touch coming in off the corner.
Absolutely. And Mendo, and yes, Ben, you're 100% right. It wouldn't be an LAFC game this season without Denny hitting one off the crossbar. And Mendo, to your point, yeah, one of the few matches that LAFC lost, even when scoring first. Last season, we went 22-1-4 over the course of the entire year when we scored first. Obviously, there are a couple of games that I will not forget. The game against Monterrey during the League's Cup is one that I'll not ever forget that we scored first and absolutely blew that one in. But even this season, we won all the games, the two, by scoring the first goal. So typically we are the better team when we score first. And we almost had the opportunity to be the better team going into the locker room again. There was a bad turnover that occurred by the Rapids. We're talking like within stoppage time. Kike Oliveira had a great attempt, wide open, a clean look at Zach Steffen, but he got stuffed. Talk to us about that play.
That play coming off of a turnover right over to LAFC, like you said, look, Oliveira, for as frustrating as it's been seeing him not score and not score when he probably should have or really could have, we're seeing a lot. I mean, the effort from him is fantastic. The speed is undeniable. Unfortunately, it's just one or two aspects of it are going wrong. Oh, no. And look, I'm going to give Kike Oliveira his credit because he's out there hustling every game. You watch him play. He's flying down. He's working hard. When the play seems lost, he still gets on his horse. We saw that later in this game, too. He will get on his horse and try to keep things alive. The dude's out there. He's playing with heart. It's not going his way this year, but gosh, he's trying. So I give him all the credit for it. Look, but
Brian Rodriguez,
I know you're
played with some heart. He's starting to have shades. It's something about, with the exception of Diego Rossi, something about these Uruguayan wingers that, you know, are coming in fast as all hell on the flanks, just not able to get good looks on goal. But it wasn't that Oliveira didn't have a good look. There was something that was a really big missed opportunity. It wasn't so much a shot on Steffen.
Right. You had Steffen right in front of his face that coming in, but as Kike was trying to handle the ball, it looked like he was looking down at the ball and the ball only, just trying to figure out, oh, I got to get this, try to make something happen. Looks up, sees Steffen there. But what he didn't do was look off to his left and see almost uncontested Bogus there, who's ready for the put in if he could just make the cross. Unfortunately, you saw it. I saw it. The millions
and millions
saw it. But Kike Oliveira was the only one who didn't. And what he did see was Steffen Frey, right? And oh, Zach Steffen. I keep saying
that. Steffen Frey. No, we don't want to see him.
But what we did see was Zach Steffen right up in Kike Oliveira's grill, stuffing him, like you said. No shot once again. No goal once again for Kike Oliveira.
And we head into the locker room tied, which kind of sucks because not only is it against, is it on the road, but, you know, you're in Mile High City. We're talking about elevation. Now, a team that plays aggressively like LAFC, they got tired within the first 20, 25 minutes. That so much was very evident in the way that the momentum changed from LAFC to the Colorado Rapids. But if you had the lead going into the locker, you could kind of take a breather, maybe a foot off the gas. I know that's not what LAFC does, but all things considered, it would have been a lot better to go into the locker room with the score 2-1. Now, LAFC within the first half, they exploded. Two shots, but only two of them on target. The XG, not as much as you would imagine it to be. The passing accuracy was a heck of a lot better than we've seen in the past, despite how windy it was. And you can see it that anytime Mihailovic, for example, was taking a corner kick, you saw how windy it was in Denver. So despite the wind factor, LAFC looked pretty solid in terms of their passing accuracy. Where they didn't seem solid was on the set piece defense, which led to that first goal in the half for Colorado.
It's true. And look, you hear it every time there's any event of any kind in Colorado. The elevation, the altitude is so high. It's talked about ad nauseum on any sports broadcast.
Elevate this. Sorry.
Oh, well, we've gone from acknowledging to elevating. But and I got to thinking, well, come on. It's just all in the mind. It's all in mind. But then somebody put up something that got me thinking, well, what's the difference in altitude? Denver, Mile High City, 5,280 feet, give or take. I don't know what it actually is up there. But Los Angeles has an elevation of 305 feet compared to 5,280. Burbank, where world famous Film Monster Studios is, where we are right now, coming at you from a whopping 607 feet elevation. So I've got to say, though, and Rogo brought up a good point, and so did Heath Pierce. One of them, we're talking about it. what you're going to notice is as time goes on, maybe like on a change of possession and you've got to drop back and you've just been, you know, running up, running forward on a play. Now you're all of a sudden you got to turn around, but your lungs are burning. So to make that change and then change your direction and then go and chase down a forward or an opposing player, that's really what's going to hit you, is that the fatigue of not only the muscles, but the lungs, and which kind of correlate, but it's something that really is going to play a factor and does create a legitimate home field advantage, as much as I hate hearing about it anytime we play at Colorado.
No, I mean, all very good points. And you'd think, knowing that, because this isn't a mystery, it's not rocket science. We know about this, and we're just a couple of schmucks with a microphone in Burbank, California. You'd think that maybe LAFC would try to get there a little earlier rather than maybe like a day or two before, just to have the opportunity to adjust to the elevation factor. I hate leaning on that crutch, because honestly, you take any of those players in this league, they could go out and run a full marathon elevation wise and not have an issue. So I hate having to rely on this. I mean, this is our way of giving you a glass half full perspective. But as I said on One More Sleep, I was going to hold on to that crutch only for 45 minutes and the first 45 minutes, not so much the second 45 minutes, because at that point with a break, you have time to adjust. Now, second half starts, but look, Denny, real quick, four shots within that first half. He was looking solid. Isis, absolutely right. They did look out of breath, so on and so forth. Ben, trying to figure out if Atuesta has always been this good and we've missed it in his absence, or he's improved in Brazil, adding to his lethal skill set. Either way, I think he's our best player. Look, I think there's a bit of both. He was an MLS best 11 kind of a player. Edward Atuesta was exceptional for us from 2019 onwards. There's a reason why he was being sought after by so many clubs on an international level. But obviously, having spent time competing down in Brazil and going up in Copa Libertadores and going up against other competition, he's only going to mature into his role. So those are all very good points.
Well, here's another thing about Atuesta. Look at his 2021 campaign, not only with the talent that he had, but also in that year, what were we missing? We were missing Carlos Vela a lot due to different injuries and various points, comebacks, setbacks, etc. And who was it that stepped up in his absence as our captain, as our leader, really the only vocal leader on the team that year, and kind of the one who would really get things going, was Atuesta. And here we are in a year of transition. No Carlos, even though we have other leaders on the team this year. But that was a very young team in 2021, one of the youngest in the league. But we are in a team of transition, totally different chemistry from what we have last year, just with all the turnover in the roster. And we need a player like Atuesta back to kind of keep us steady, especially in a challenging start to the year like we're in right now.
Speaking of youngest team, if anybody has these numbers or would actually like to crunch some numbers for us on this pod, I'd love to know now what the average age of LAFC is. Considering the likes of Laurie Cheneau and Kai Kamara, that's got to at least boost us to 25, 26. I would think so. Anyway, going in, let's talk about the second 45 minutes. 53rd minute is when we finally saw a little bit of action come by way of LAFC. Timothy Tillman on the break. He looked like he was knocked down from behind. No call by Armando Villarreal. So after watching that replay, it was a good call. So pretty rancid officiating. Didn't have anything that was pretty rancid there. A minute after that, Denny Bouanga blasts one, but Stefan saves it. That was the first attempt for LAFC in the second half.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. It seems like it's the story that we hear time after time. Bouanga with the blast off the crossbar. Just wide. Just misses. Saved by the keeper. But here's what we got to keep into account here. Bouanga with the blast. Look, I know we said it before. Oh, they're going to come when the floodgates open. But here's the thing. Even though he's having a tough time and he's going through a lot of scoreless stretches right now, he's still attacking. Yeah. And he's our attacker. And he's still making defenses have to account for him. He's still making whole teams have to account for him. So even though he's not having the success and the results that we want from him and that he wants, undoubtedly, he's still creating all these chances for us. And if we can start capitalizing on them, then we're looking at a whole different season right now. But also, I think once we start adding in some of these higher caliber strikers, like we've been talking about, like Giroud and when Kai Kamara really gets involved, I think we're going to start seeing a lot more freedom for Bouanga. And we're going to maybe change the narrative on all these Bouanga blasts, hopefully.
And as we mentioned the name Giroux, guess who walks in the door after putting in a shift at Cedars-Sinai? The one, the only, Amanda the Panda Filiman. Yay, Panda. Yay, her love for Drew.
Hey, you know what? You said something earlier, and speaking of Panda and myself, I want to call back. You used the word marathon. So I want to give a quick shout out to Panda, myself, and all the members of the Black and Gold Running Club who competed and completed the 39th Los Angeles Marathon on St. Patrick's Day. So we had a quick shout out here. We had 20 members from the Black and Gold Running Club complete the 26.2 miles in the 39th LA Marathon this year. Year in, year out, we're putting in double-digit runners, and I'm incredibly proud of everybody who put in the work and completed the 26.2 miles. But an even bigger shout-out, because they made mile 11 feel like mile one, everybody from the Black and Gold and the Running Club and just supporters groups from Empire Boys, Offsiders, the 42 Originals, Expo Originals as well, all showed up to our, and if I missed you, please forgive me. I was at mile 11. My head was not 100%, but everybody who came out to our cheer squad on Hollywood Boulevard, and a huge boost to all the runners out there. Every year we get a lot of notoriety for it. You guys make a complete difference to everybody running. So thank you to everybody with the Black and Gold Running Club, and congratulations to everybody who ran.
Well, shoot, that was a heck of a lot more fun than talking about this freaking nonsense of a game. That's good stuff. And shout out to the individuals that drove, the individuals who ran the marathon to the marathon. In your case, it would be an Uber driver. Who's good his name, by the way?
I have to look it up. But hey, thanks a lot, man. You were super cool. You had great music. I was very chilled out. It was great.
All right. Back to the game. Still got to unpack this POS of a game. Anyways.
Oh, but a big shout out. Speaking of drivers, I got a ride down to the marathon, the starting line at Dodger Stadium from a Lyft driver. But good friend and member of the Black and Gold Running Club, Heather Briggs, gave me a ride home because, as we know, the starting line is way far out there. So, and she's a fellow Valley native as well. So thank you for the ride home. And again, thank you to everybody who supported the Black and Gold Running Club.
Well, shoot, I want to join right now and run a marathon. Let's no joke. I got so much anger and frustration pent up after today. All right, getting back into things. I just mentioned some of the buildups that occurred. All right, so Martinez subs in for Oliveira in the 63rd minute. This is when we start to see a lot of the happenings of the game go down, both positively and, of course, negatively. Now, 65th minute, great cross in the box from Sam Vines. The teenager, Darren Yappe, who subbed in not too earlier before Martinez, had himself an opportunity. He got past Murillo. Fortunately, there was no scores for that. And then we had Kevin Cabral coming out of the game for Fernandez, the player that would start in lieu of Cabral in that scenario. So a couple of subs start to come into the match. Those, like you were saying, the lungs were on fire, needing to like make some changes, so on and so forth. 73rd minute, Martinez gets a pass from Denny from the midfield, has a shot on Stefan, didn't put enough on that shot, but keep that in mind. 75th minute, bit of danger in the box, but from the Colorado Rapids, cleared away by Timothy Tillman. Awesome. And then here was something that we have to celebrate before we have to commiserate momentarily. A nice buildup occurring from Timothy Tillman to Ryan Hollingshead. Hollingshead finds Denny. Denny finds Atuesta, slips that ball into David Martinez. He breaks through Sam Vines and Omir Fernandez in the most splendid of ways, like a scissor going through a first grader's piece of construction paper, absolutely sliced and diced the defenders. He slips one to the left of Zach Steffen, and booyah, all of a sudden, LAFC take the lead. It's the first goal of his career for the young Venezuelan, and we were no doubt cheering here in Filimonster Studios.
That's me sipping tea, which is what David Martinez was doing after his game, after his goal there in the first goal of the MLS season and his MLS career. He grabs the tea, had a spot of tea because, well, he's, what, 18 years old? That's really all he can drink to celebrate, but maybe some Topo Chico. But another element to that goal was not only did he get through, Fernandez and everybody, but he also, right after that, before he took that shot, crashing in on him was Bassett, who seemed to be all over LAFC. He had a great game. You'd hear his name called all the time. But right in that split second, right before Martinez decided to take that shot, you had Bassett bearing down on him. And I think that was a great a great vision from Martinez to take that shot at that moment, knowing this is what's coming up, even after I just cleared away from that, not thinking about what he just did, but thinking only about what's coming now and what he needs to do. So really great vision from him, from the youngster. Great decision-making. You love to see it because he had a couple of things in his first two games where you really weren't sure about his decision-making. And in this one, I think, oh, wow, that really clicked for him.
Yeah, but you're going to question his decision-making in just a moment. We're going to go back to the immaturity level in just a second. Real quick, a couple subs LAFC makes again. Eddie Segura coming into the game for Ryan Hollingshead. And then the 39-year-old Kai Kamara coming in for Ilya Sanchez. Kai Kamara coming into a Major League Soccer game wearing a black and gold jersey. Incredible. You thought we had a reason to be jovial until the 78th minute. And this 78th minute, to me, this is the phantom yellow card. I don't recall seeing it, hearing it. I don't know where my head was. I don't know how I missed it. But Martinez got hit with a yellow. Totally missed it. And this is going to come back to bite us in the gluteus maximus in a couple more moments. I did not see that yellow card. Did you?
I didn't. In fact, we were looking around like, when was this? We were trying to find it. I think it was Mark Rogondino on the call who said that Martinez received a yellow card about 7 or 8 minutes prior to this one. Again, we didn't see it. I don't know what it was for or what he did. And then on this one, even almost a little bit of a phantom call as well. We're wondering, wait, why was the yellow? We saw the initial contact from him on Mihailovic, and we were like, wait, that wasn't a foul. That wasn't a yellow. It was a flop by Mihailovic for such a player who had a great game. I hate to disparage somebody, but well, it wasn't me diving on the ground. It was him. So I got to say it. He really, on little contact, got his arm in there and threw himself to the ground. Referee stops play, which I understand. But then a few seconds later, you see the yellow card come out. And you're like, wait, what was this for? It couldn't have been for that play. That was nothing. That was barely any contact at all. And they mentioned it, but they couldn't even, it didn't even show up on the replay because it happened so late afterwards. Was after the foul was called and the play was stopped, Martinez gets up and kicks the ball to the sideline, kind of not in disgust, but a little frustration, really a boneheaded play. I think just absent-minded, kind of a blasé move as well. Really put no thought into what he was doing. We just talked about his vision and his awareness on the field and in the play. And that he just seemed to let it all go, earning him his second yellow of the game, getting himself ejected, putting the team down in player, and also getting him out for his first derby against the Galaxy next week on a red card.
Yeah, and this all happened right after we saw Jordi Mihailovic score a goal. 81st minute, what happened? They had a nice buildup from Omir Fernandez by Rafael Navarro. Then Eddie Segura had a tackle just outside of the box. It was ever so close to being inside of the 18. So Eddie gets the yellow on that. And then as he was lining up, they were knocking on the door. Jordi Mihailovic already was doing great things with setting up his teammates via corner style. Now he was going to do something great for himself. He takes his free kick well over the wall and to the right of Hugo Lloris. It was a gorgeous goal by Jordi Mihailovic. Now this kid's sitting on an assist and a goal, and our game is tied. And then what? Moments later, we alluded to what you said earlier before we started talking about this. Martinez gets a red card. So now we were playing with one man less. Does it matter in this frame so late in the game? Absolutely, it matters. 87th minute, the Rapids nearly strike again with an opportunity right after that red card. And the sub, Stuart Baines, had the impact. 89th minute, Georgie, with his second freaking goal of the day. Rafael Navarro had an absolutely gorgeous cross into the box, and Stuart Baines just served it up on a platter in the nicest of ways. The touch, the wherewithal. He didn't throw too much on it. He didn't overcook it. Beautifully placed it in front of Mihailovic, and Mihailovic mashes it past Lloris. And now, how in the hell did we go from leading 2-1 to being down 3-2 near the death? An absolute stunner. Mihailovic, brace, and an assist. We're down 3-2.
You know, we talked about it earlier, and in the first half, we were in control, and then things just kind of, momentum shifted at a certain point, right over to Colorado's favor. And it's almost like they never looked back. We kept pressing. We kept trying. We had a few spurts. We had a few glimpses of hope. But Colorado just was ready to strike back and take control at a moment's notice. And we saw that at just some killer parts of the game. Especially you go back to the red card, obviously putting them up in an advantage when we lacking depth can only make a limited number of substitutions anyway. Now having them with them, having made getting a few more fresh legs in there really puts us behind even further than it would look on paper. But then just, it seemed like now was the time where they said, hey, you know what? We've got LAFC on their back heels now. It's time for us to strike. It's our home. We need to play like it is. And they really took advantage of their home field advantage.
Finally, one last opportunity for LAFC, a little bit of commotion in the box. Then Bogusz blasts one well over the crossbar. Look, that's how it's going to end. No other buildups from there. Colorado gets their first win at home, and LAFC's losing streak on the road continues. No wins, no points this season away from BMO Stadium. The last time we won a road game, you have to go back to the MLS semifinals, a game in which we beat the Sounders at Lumen. That's the last time we had won on the road, because obviously we lost to we beat Houston in the Western Conference Finals. We lose to Columbus on the road for the MLS Cup, and we have yet to connect and bring home a point. Look, in any sport, winning on the road or getting a point on the road is tough. But LAFC had this game. This is a game where they snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. This was their game. Absolutely, this was their game. And while Colorado did play one of their better games, and I think I asked you this question at one point, I couldn't tell if Colorado improved tremendously under Chris Armas or whether we're playing that bad. I'll give Colorado the benefit of the doubt. They played really well, and bringing in Georgi Mihailovic was a big deal. But you know, this is why I didn't want to buy into the hype of last game against Nashville that, yeah, LAFC's back. We put up five against Nashville. I still think we have plenty of work to do, plenty of things to improve upon. But, you know, with obviously Chanot in, Kai Kamara adjusting to things. I mean, I'm not trying to wait till July for Olivier Giroud or for Carlos Vela whenever he decides to sign, put pen to paper. We need to do some things, and we need to do them fast, because we're not off to a great start.
Yeah, look, and if you start putting all your hopes on 2 months from now, 3 months from now, you're not going to be looking good. I mean, we have a lot of, fortunately, our schedule is a lot more relaxed than it was from last year. But that's still a lot of time and a lot of games between now and July when we get this world-class striker in Giroud. But also, yeah, fingers crossed, and also just, you know, hope that, you know, nothing happens to him between now and July. You also got to take that into account. Nothing's a given. And so we have to also have our offense developing without him right now because we don't have him yet. And we got to get our guys going. I mean, look, if we're playing once a week minimum between now and July, you know, that's a lot of points that we can't just leave on the table. We've got to pick them up. And when we have the opportunities to go on the road and beat a team like Colorado, who, in my opinion, is vulnerable, they've improved a ton from what they were last year. Obviously, you know, you look 2021, they won the West on decision day, you know, making it into the playoffs. Fortunately, we stole Kellen Acosta from them, and then we went on to have our success. Colorado kind of took a dip after that. And last year, we really, you know, we kind of beat up on them. I think that our 5-0 win over Nashville last week was really like what it was when we played Colorado in September of 2023. August of 2023, whenever it was. And
it doesn't matter when it was.
It doesn't matter when it was. But the point is, it's like, look, it's nice when you have a team who's vulnerable, like Nashville was last week, like when we faced Colorado at home last year and beat them pretty handily. And when you can take advantage on a team that should give you 3 points and you do so in a resounding fashion, it really inspires a lot in your team. Last week, we were hoping that that's what the case would be. And for the first 30 minutes of this game, it looked like that's what it was. Like LAFC was on a roll, keeping things going, keeping the momentum going, and really picking up where we left off from last week's shebang bang, as you would put it. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't to be the case, whether you want to say it was the elements of the altitude or the lack of depth, whatever. We just weren't making some good choices in a lot of plays. And And also, look, guys like Mihailovic are legit. And a lot of the new players that they brought in are legitimate. And you know, obviously, guys like Kevin Cabral knows us very well. We know him. But, you know, an LAFC player versus a Galaxy player, like, look, a lot of times the Galaxy LAFC games are the only time the Galaxy players actually show up in their season. So it's like you knew you were going to get 100% out of a player like him. Chris Armas, who has done a really good job with the team so far this season. I know it's a very limited pool to pick from, but a limited sample size, if you will. But he's done a good job of turning them around from where they were. Okay. And with a team that's improving like that, and we're a team that has a lot of chemistry shakeup, a lot of roster turnover, we've got to make sure that we are at our best, whether or not Colorado is as good as we think they were or not. At home, or you know, on the road against a team who seems to be clicking and improving and feeling that momentum, for a team like us who really is unsure and not able to find our identity yet, we're the ones who are vulnerable in that situation. So unfortunately, for the first 30 minutes, we came out looking great, but the rest of it showed, and that vulnerability showed after that. And you got to give it to Colorado. They played better than us. And a lot of our weaknesses showed. And I'm just hoping that we'll have a chance to work on a lot of those and integrate our new players in and make some positive changes. Look, I'm not saying sound the alarm just yet. This team shows a lot of good promise. They play really well. They make a lot of great plays. A lot of our goals are just shy. We talked about the golden crossbar winner, Denny Bawanga, right now. Look, 2-3 inches down, those balls are in. We're winning like 7-1 in some of these games. So let's just wait it out. Don't lose hope. Stay positive. This team is really good. They're just finding their identity amidst a lot of new players.
Final score, Rapids 3, LAFC 2. Shots for LAFC, 19, 5 of them on target. We surpassed our XG, which was less than 1. So at least from that perspective, we did okay. So that's... yeah.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were going to tap me.
I will after you're done.
All right. Let's try to keep it under an hour, huh?
Yeah.
you talk about – all right. So, I mean, look, final score 3-2. Georgi Mihailovic was the player of the game, without a doubt. 2 goals, 1 assist. Denny Bawanga, 6 shots, 2 of them hitting the woodwork. He continues to have a stat along those lines. The consistency of him banging it off the woodwork continues. LAFC falls on the road, yet to win, on the road, yet to get a point on the road. And you talked about how, you know, a guy like Kevin Cabral, as a member of the LA Galaxy, the only time that they come through is when they play us. That's not the case this season. They're at the time of this recording, they're going to be playing the Seattle Sounders in about an hour or so. This is a team that kind of scares me. This might actually be the best Galaxy team that we've seen since LAFC has entered into the league. They play well together. They vary well from the midfield to their forwards. John McCarthy, a great keeper. Their back line is still Swiss cheese-like. So if we can continue to get the amount of shots that we get off on the LA Galaxy, that'd be a good thing. Plus, we know John McCarthy pretty well. On the same side, he also knows us really well. But we head in to the derby in a very precarious position, and one in which, well, you know, the Battle of LA is at stake and on hand. And the way we've been playing lately, I am a little worried, to say the least, going into the game against the Galaxy at BMO next week.
Look, we had a question earlier that I don't think we addressed. I think it was Mendo who asked it, but, you know, given Martinez's red card, what kind of a role do we see from Oliveira next week? Does he get the full 90? You know, what kind of role will Kamara play? What do you think happens to a guy like Kike or Kamara with Martinez out next week?
I mean, I'd say we were going to have to rely on Oliveira a lot more in terms of minutes. Hopefully his quality improves. It's a big game, so players come up to the level of competition. And of course, when it's a derby, I think we'll see similar minutes from Kai Kamara next week as we did this week, him coming in sometime after the 65th, 70th minute. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put all our hopes on the 39-year-old Kamara. So he's not going to feature, I would imagine, until much later within the second half. So Oliveira is going to have to hold it down until Kai Kamara comes off of the pine.
Well, hey, look, I want to thank you for having me on this week. I really appreciate you letting me sub in. As a longtime listener and a big fan and happy to be a friend of yours, I appreciate the honor of letting me come in and do the pod with you in JR's absence. JR, I hope you're having a great trip. And like I said, I took all the scarves I could to represent. I hope I did it well for you, buddy.
I mean, you definitely have a lot of scarves on there. I appreciate the one that you have on top, the Defenders of the Bank scarf, which, by the way, we will be a new one too. Yeah, it's got the star in it. We will be selling these at the tailgate next week, and I should be there. I think I have a baseball game to call that day, but I'm not going to miss the rivalry, the derby. There's no freaking way I'm going to do that. But anyway, thank you for taking the time to hang out and do this pod. Misery does love company, and this was a heck of a lot better doing it with somebody as opposed to doing it by myself. Plus, you're saving my vocal cords, because tomorrow I got to call an indoor soccer game, which, folks, by the way, on Easter Sunday, if you got nothing to do, 4 p.m. at Toyota Arena in Ontario, California, come watch Marco Fabian and the Empire Strikers take on the Tacoma Stars for the final game of the MASL season. You get out to the game, I promise you, you will have the opportunity to take a photo, possibly get an autograph from Marco Fabian. He always sticks around after the games to chat with the fans, so on and so forth. $5 tickets. It's $5 anywhere. They're not starting at $5. They're $5 a pop. Or hell, if you want to just come DM me and I'll freaking get you a ticket. So, yes, I would agree. Nevis TTV, so embarrassing, lost. I get it. You're right. We've already addressed it. We've commiserated it. Let's put this one in the pipe and do whatever it is that one does with a pipe.
Sure. Well, speaking of, nothing related to that, but I do want to say the comment above that. Isis Black and Gold Love Barbershop loves her scarf. And Isis, we love you. Thank you. I'll be coming in for an appointment soon. And again, thank you to everybody who was in the chat today. Philly, thanks again for having me on. And we're looking forward to next week.
Real quick, just one other person wanted to say thank you for coming onto the pod.
Thank you, Mr. Lafferty, for subbing in and helping Philly do this podcast without the scarf. I know now, thanks to Philly and his intro, that you are the chairman of my fan club. So God bless you and thank you.
Another satisfied customer. And with that, Defenders, I'm out of here. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Happy Easter to all of you. And I hope to see you all, or however many of you, at Toyota Arena tomorrow as the Strikers take on the Tacoma Stars. Again, big shout out to Chris Lafferty, Black and Gold Run Club, Panda for making a cameo, Hello Kitty for just being Hello Kitty. We love y'all, the millions.
10 million!
See, I prefer that jovial response. All right, we out, yo. Have a good night.